Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. Thank you for joining us this morning to gather around the Word of God in this holy day season. This is more than a holiday season for God's people. Of course, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. We're going to celebrate Christmas. We're going to celebrate the real reason for the season, because we know the reason, and it's because of what God has done for us when He gave His Son for us, and what Jesus has accomplished for us when He hung on the cross in our place to purchase our salvation. Thank God for the baby that came to lay in a manger, but thank God He didn't stay in the manger. Thank God. Amen. He went to the cross in my place and your place to pay our sin debt up so we could be forgiven, reconciled unto God, and saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, not just for all of the blessings that we have here in America that others have fought and died and bled to give us, but thank you, Jesus, for what you have given us, because we can put a value, we can put an actual value on our homes, our cars, our clothes, we can put a value on those things, but there is no value that we can put upon the shed blood of Jesus. That's why it is called the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hallelujah. There's no way we can put a dollar sign, a value sign, anything that in anywhere comes near representing what we have received as a free gift when God so loved that He gave His Son. So Thanksgiving shouldn't be a day that we stop to thank God for living in America. We should do that. Don't get me wrong. That's not top shelf. That's not number one on the list. Amen. We should thank God for our family, our friends. We should thank God for our health. We should thank God for so many people and things. But above all, we should thank God for Jesus Christ. For God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. Listen, friend of mine, this is the reason that we live Thanksgiving 365 days a year. We celebrate all of the blessings that we have here in America as an established Thanksgiving day. And listen, every time that we remember His broken body, His shed blood, it's called the Eucharist or Eucharisto. It's the Lord's Supper. And what it's all about, Holy Communion, is giving thanks, remembering to show the proper gratitude for what we have received when we receive Christ and all the blessings of His sacrifice. Hallelujah. Amen. So our message today, pre-Thanksgiving, just before Thanksgiving Day, is simply this: Lord, make us truly thankful. It's part of a blessing over food. Amen. Thank you for this food, Lord. Make us truly thankful. Make us truly thankful. Help us to be truly thankful. God puts a premium on sincerity, honesty, and truth. He puts a high premium on that. Listen, true gratitude will lead. I want to say this really, really clearly today. True gratitude will lead, amen, to more than just thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It'll lead to more than that. It will lead to thanks living. It will lead to following Jesus in deep devotion and obedience as the result of a truly thankful heart. Just say it with me in this listening audience today. We're here to give thanks, to live thanks, though, as a 365 day a year expression of gratitude to God. It's the way we live our life because of the love that is in our heart and the gratitude that is in our heart, because we are able to begin to search out the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, friend of mine, when we begin to show that gratitude from the heart, we'll never, ever find ourselves trying to gaslight God. Now, gaslighting is a term that's in use a lot today, particularly among politicians. Amen. But it's all over the place when people are trying to fool other people. Every false preacher in a pulpit this morning is trying to gaslight the people. Every false prophet is trying to gaslight people. Every phony Christian is trying to gaslight people. And they're actually even trying to gaslight God. Gaslighting is when both of you know the truth, but one is convincingly denying it. And it is a type of lying convincingly. Someone said of false prophets, in a paraphrase, that they will lie with straight faces so many times that they will begin to believe the lie themselves. That's the end result of gaslighting. Someone said it really truthfully. You can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time. But I want to add this to that. But you can't fool God any of the time. Why? Because man, who can be gaslighted, looks on the outward appearance, but God looks deeper. God looks upon the heart. And what He's looking for on the heart is true gratitude this Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. If He finds that, there's a great blessing in it. Let me give you an example of ancient Israel going through the proper prescribed offerings that God Himself prescribed for the priests to offer and the people to bring. Amen. And yet, they had failed Him in such a, they tried to gaslight Him is what they did. They did all this rigorously, religiously, and routinely. And they did it just like He said to do it. But there was something crucial in the heart that He was looking for to confirm that the activity was being done from the heart and not just through religious ritual. And what was He looking for? Look at me with it in Psalm 50 and look at the blessing when you get it right. How many want the blessing of true gratitude in your heart? Hallelujah. God's blessing as we live our thanks 365 days a year and we live under His promise of help in the time of any trouble. What a promise. What a blessing. I'm going for it today. How about you? Turn with me to Psalm 50, a psalm of Asaph. Listen to what he says. Remember and keep it in mind. They tried to gaslight God, and He looked deeper than them doing the right things routinely, ritualistically, and religiously. Listen, Psalm 50, and verse 1, we'll begin reading. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken, and called the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come, and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about Him. He shall call the heavens from above and the earth, that He may judge His people. I want to stop right here and ask you where judgment begins. You may think of the worst city in America or in Europe. You may think of the most sinful place like Sodom and Gomorrah, like some house of ill repute. You may think of Vegas. Listen, what stays in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas. It rises to God. God knows every secret thing. And be sure our sins will find us out. Amen. If you get a sexually transmitted disease in Vegas, you're going to bring it home to your family. Sin finds us out. There's all kinds of consequences to sin, and that's why God calls us to righteousness and holiness. He loves us. He loves our families. Amen. Hallelujah. Not trying to hurt us, keep us from experiencing the best in life. Telling you straight up this morning, sin is not going to give you the best in life. Listen to what God says to His covenant people in ancient Israel. Verse 5, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. And here's what He actually commended them for. Verse 8, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. They were consistently offering the prescribed sacrifices for the prescribed circumstances on the prescribed days, in the prescribed ways. They were good at it, but they were trying to gaslight God. Listen, I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy herds. Now he's saying you're offering these sacrifices. I am not receiving them as sacrifices unto me. Why? Verse 10 says, For every beast, hallelujah, of the field is mine. It already belongs to me. Whatever you're giving me or think you're giving me to meet some need in me, it already belongs to me. Amen. And the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the air, of the mountains, and the beasts of the field. They are mine. If I were hungry, if I had a need for you to fulfill in me, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Can I get an amen? Will I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? Now here's what He wanted from them. He wanted them to do that, but with the right heart attitude. Let me make something very clear this morning. Strap in for this. It's going to get a little turbulent. Listen, you can do the right thing with the wrong attitude, and God will reject the right thing. Do you hear what I'm telling you? If you don't believe it, go to Revelation chapter 3. He commended them, the church of Ephesus. He said, I commend you for this and that and this and thus and that and the other. And they were feeling real good about themselves with all of Christ's commendations. But He said, I have somewhat against you. And it must have shocked them, amen, to hear that, because they were getting it right here and there and there and there. And He said, thou hast left thy first love. In other words, the activity is right. The attitude of the heart is wrong. You're doing it out of religious duty, not out of true devotion. Born out of loving me back for loving you. Reciprocating love for loving you is why you used to do all these things in obedience. But now you're just doing it as your duty, not out of true devotion, more emotion than devotion. And once again, man looks on the outward. You can fool some of the people all the time, and all the people some of the time. You can't fool God any of the time. So He says, repent and do your first works, lest I come unto you quickly and remove your lampstand. Oh, friend of mine, there are too many churches filling the void of the manifest power and presence of God that ought to be there, changing lives, saving souls, healing the sick, delivering the bound. Oh, friend, but it's business as usual. It's big business, and the money pours in, the buildings go up, and there's nothing in and of itself wrong with that until Jesus walks in and looks at the heart and wants to determine by seeing what's truly in the heart and what all this activity is, where it's truly coming from. He's looking for truth in the inward parts, the scripture says in the Old Covenant. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. That's why he said true worshipers can't find the right place or circumstance. Amen. They have to worship wherever they are from the heart. Oh, friend, I don't want to ever try. I don't want to ever be guilty of gaslighting God, trying to convince Him that I'm right with Him without letting Him see what is in my heart and show me what is in my heart. Amen. That's why David, who had failed so miserably, yes, he had been forgiven, but he had failed, and the consequences of his sin had fallen upon him and his household. And now he says, "Search me, O Lord. Search me and see if there's an unclean way in me." Amen. And he cried for that cleanness in Psalm 50. "Wash me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." Hallelujah. Not just clean from the sin, but from the iniquity in the heart that brought the sin forth. Oh, friend of mine, this is so important today. What was he looking for? He said, keep doing these right things, these prescribed things, but not out of routine and ritual, but from the heart. Hallelujah. Listen, he said, all this is not doing something for me. They're prescribed sacrifices. I receive them as a sweet smelling savor. They bless me. But here's what I will, this was what will qualify every one of them. Verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows to the Most High, and then call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Glory to God. Friend of mine, I want that blessing. I want to be able to grab Psalm 50:15 when I pray, when I'm in need, when you're in need. I want you to be able to qualify for it. The last verse of this psalm says, to him that orders his conversation aright. Amen. Hallelujah. To him I will show the salvation of God. It literally says in the King James, whoso offereth praise true, out of true gratitude, you see, hallelujah, glorifies me. And I will show him my salvation. That's not just save him from his sins. It means show him my deliverance, my power to come upon him and to help him or them in the time of their need, the time of their trouble. There will be the manifest power of God in answer to prayer. Praise God. Because we are not trying and not seeking and not even falling into the trap of gaslighting God. He already knows the truth. So let's be open in our heart. Let's be open to him searching our heart. Let's let the Word of God come in and have a sanctifying work within us. Jesus put it this way, now you are clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you. Never reject what the Scripture is saying to us. Receive it. Glory to God. Let it be light and truth within your heart, so that our heart doesn't deceive us. Your own heart will try to gaslight you until it is cleansed, not only by the blood of Jesus, but by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working together. The heart of man, hear it, is desperately wicked, hear it, and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I'll tell you someone who knows it, and that's God. Amen. The outward appearance is all man can see, but God looks deeper. He sees the attitude of the heart before any activity is even considered. And if He sees what we're doing in activity and devotion coming from a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude, amen. He said, then call on me. Offer thanksgiving by the way you live your life, by the way you follow Christ, by the way you obey the Word. Praise God. And then call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. Thou shalt glorify me. I want that blessing this Thanksgiving. I want to go back to the cross, fall at the foot of the cross. If the first love isn't kindled, let it be kindled there. If it's been kindled and it's growing cold, let it be rekindled there. I want my gratitude to be re-stimulated. Every communion service is to remember what? Remember me in the general sense? No, in a specific way. His body broken, His blood poured out. That's to stimulate true gratitude. Amen. And when we begin to live thanks and not just give thanks before we eat or at Thanksgiving time, but we begin to live a life of devotion to follow Jesus Christ, to love God back for loving us. Amen. Hallelujah. Then He said, when you pray, it's going to make a difference. I'm coming. Hallelujah. I'm coming to show you my deliverance, my salvation, my saving power from your enemy, from your trouble, from your circumstance, causing you to always triumph. Glory to God. Well, friend of mine, I don't know about you, but I'm going to eat a celebratory meal and celebratory dessert. And I like celebrating. So does God. So let's celebrate Him. This Thanksgiving, in the meal, in the gathering together, and let's thank Him for our family, our friends, our food, and our health, and our job, and our home, and all the things and people He has put into our lives. Oh, but after that one day is over, let's continue to thank Him and live that thanks out in a life of devotion to Him. And when He sees us doing the right things from the right attitude, offer unto God thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. What's He say He's going to do? Amen. He said, if you do that, you get that right, you can call on me in the day of trouble, and I'm coming to deliver you. Oh, dear friend of mine, let's not let this opportunity fast pass to go back to the cross. Let's have a holy communion service in our heart between us and God right here and right now today, and say thank you for the cross, my friend. And when I rise up and go out, let me go out in deep devotion because of great gratitude for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love, your Son to take my place at the cross. Let me live my life to give you glory, whatever I do, to do it to your glory and honor. And whatever I do, do it in the name of your Son and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And when the trouble comes, and it will come in some way, somehow, we'll need God to come on the scene. He said, you offer unto me thanksgiving and follow my instructions, and I will come. Hallelujah. Call on me. Pray. Cry out to me in the day of trouble. Hallelujah. I'll deliver you from that trouble. And thou shalt glorify me. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, if you don't know Jesus this Thanksgiving season, He's calling you. He's right where you are. He knows that a day will come. A day of trouble will come. A day when you will need God's intervention, God's help. He knows that a judgment is coming. The day of Jacob's trouble is coming. He knows that in this world we shall have tribulation. We're going to have trouble. But He said, I want you to be able to have your sins forgiven. And out of gratitude for that forgiveness, I want you to follow me. Hallelujah. So come to Christ today. Come to Jesus. Repent of your sin. Receive Him as your Savior. Be reconciled unto God. And when you really get it, when it really dawns upon you the majesty, the glory that Jesus would come and take our place on the cross so we could be saved, begin to show gratitude to God. And when the day of trouble comes, you can claim this great promise in Psalm 50:15. Call upon me, and I will deliver thee in Jesus' name.